right, 12:03. Sorry you had to endure that sports memory during that last spot block. It is not really his sports memory. He just does it because it involves Denver in the one time, like, decades ago that they beat Kansas City. I mean, Stibbs doesn't understand how that promotion's supposed to work. It's supposed to be what sports memory tugged at your heartstrings. I know what he was trying to do. Okay, I'm not gonna go for that anymore. We're past that. Come up with something new, pal. George, I got a question here. It's kind of like we're not the age where you could be my son. We would be like the oldest son and the youngest son of a family.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a conversation with someone yesterday, and I was trying to explain. It was just a random conversation, and they were teaching their son how to drive. And I said, what kind of a vehicle? And I said, you know, and he told me, and I said, oh, man, you know what I learned to drive on? Mm-hmm. With a stick shift.
Oh.
Most people I know learned how to drive with a stick shift. Now, if you were somebody that was learning to drive back in the 80s, the stick shift was there for you. Mm-hmm. But now, I mean, you can't find, unless you're in a used car, you're not finding a stick shift.
You're correct.
I can't even remember the last time I got into a vehicle and there was a stick shift. But I said, yeah, I learned it was a Ford Mustang with a stick shift. That's how I learned how to drive. And you can't find stick shifts anymore. Mm-hmm. And I still am friends with somebody who that's what they prefer to drive is stick shifts.
Really?
Have you ever driven a stick shift?
I have attempted.
Okay.
Didn't go well.
The clutch sound like it was burning. You could smell the clutch.
Yep. Did not go well. The whole nine.
Where you forgot the brake and the clutch and it just.
This is a true story. One of my best friends ended up, I think, really badly spraining his ankle playing basketball.
Okay.
And he drives a stick shift.
Ooh.
And he's like, hey, can you drive me home? I was like, yeah, I got you. Give me the keys. And I get in and I looked at him. I was like, you didn't tell me it was stick. He's like, I didn't think it mattered. I was like, well, we didn't get out of the parking lot before I had to call somebody else. It was bad. It was so bad.
How was your friend's ankle?
Oh, he's
okay.
Fine.
It was okay.
Yeah, he's
all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, got a severe injury because you couldn't drive a stick shift. Like, well, real question here. If you were stealing cars back in the day, you had to learn how to drive a stick shift, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You had to.
Or you would peer into the window, or in some places where the door is unlocked. If you saw a stick shift, you would move on. Some people may have bought vehicles that were stick shifts mm-hmm. just so they wouldn't get stolen.
I can see it.
Oh, man, I can't steal that Mustang. I don't know how to drive a stick.
I can see
but
it.
I'll take the stereo. Yeah, I think I was okay learning how to. I drove a stick shift for a while.
And then did you really?
Yeah, because it was kind of the car that was given to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so I mean, if I wanted a vehicle, I had to drive a stick shift. And then once that thing was done, I was. I turned in my stick shift card. I said, I'm an automatic guy.
If you got into a stick shift,
by the way,
now,
this is quarantine thinking when you got a lot of time on your hands.
You would know how to drive one now if you got into one, though, right?
Yeah, I'd have to do with the coordination of the brake and the clutch and all of that stuff again,
right?
And remembering that you got to go from first to second to third, and where the you know if you want to get to fourth, where that is,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I could walk into the parking lot here, get into a car. Well, as I look, I don't see the cars I see out in our parking lot are relatively like in the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So none of them are going to be sticks.
I was about to say, I don't think anybody in this building drives a stick. There was one possibility, but I don't think he got a stick shift car. Well,
I think I could get in a vehicle and it would take me just a little bit, but I could drive a stick shift today.
Hmm. That's a good skill to have.
Trucks are still. They still make trucks that are stick shifts, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Well, that's my quarantine thinking for the day in a conversation about a stick shift. Yes. Speaking of stuck, is Michigan football stuck? Jim Harbaugh yesterday, and Jim Harbaugh has been, he's made the round on national shows, and he's popular. I mean, he's a name. We see him in Chicago in the Big Ten media days. He draws a crowd. He's a unique individual. The first time that he was in Chicago, he was dressed like he was on the sidelines, and he had his dip can in his back pocket. And in the other pocket, he had a bottle of Diet Coke. It's kind of peculiar, but that's who Jim Harbaugh is. But he's a name, and so he has, I mean, he's been on the ESPN shows. He's been on a couple of national radio shows, and he has said after 5 years at Michigan that Michigan football is on the cusp of being in the neighborhood of a national title. Now, his record is impressive. I know there's a lot of programs that would take 9 and 10 win seasons, but the glaring thing is the biggest game that Michigan plays every year, they're 0-5 against Ohio State. In the last 2 years, they've lost by 52. And he's had two opportunities in those 5 years to really make a statement. One, when they were in Columbus and they came up short on a spot. And then when they had some mojo going a couple years ago and they walked into Columbus and they got boat raced. They got an interstate number put on them. And Jim Harbaugh falls under the category in 5 years of an overseller and an under-deliverer. And the amazing thing is his college career, I mean, this guy that is coaching the Super Bowl with the Niners, he's never won a division title. Never. Never won a division title. And he also doesn't strike me as a guy that, if you look at all these lists of coaches that you can parse through, he ends up in the top 20. But it doesn't strike me as, hey, if Michigan has a really good year, that he bounces from 15 to 20, all of a sudden he's into the top 10. Like, I look at these lists, and where you find of recent Tom Fornelli on CBSSports.com, his list where, like, a Tom Herman and a Scott Frost are, if either one of those guys has a really, really good 2020, whether they contend for their conference title, in Texas case, going to Jerry's World to play, probably against Oklahoma, or Nebraska winning the West, those are two guys that I think would make huge jumps in any of these polls. Harbaugh doesn't strike me as one of those guys that would make a big jump, because you always want more out of Harbaugh. You think that Harbaugh should be winning a national title. Well, what's the history of Michigan? But how close is it? How close is Michigan actually, or how delusional? And you can do this with, again, teams that are outside of Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and then even outside of Oregon, Florida, Penn State, Georgia. Those are four, and then plus four, that I think are close to a national title than anybody else going into the 2020 season. Is Michigan, how far they are away, and in this conference it's Ohio State, Penn State, and then start to peg people, is how do you get there? Like, one of Michigan's knocks is, one, they can't beat Ohio State, but also, how about developing quarterbacks? It seems like Michigan always has like 5 to 7 scholarship quarterbacks on their roster, but they can never develop an elite quarterback in the Big Ten. And is it more of an indictment of the coach? If you were a really good college player, whether you won a title, whether you went to the pros, you were all conference, that you can't develop your own position. Jim Harbaugh was a pretty good quarterback at Michigan. Went on, he was an NFL quarterback. He had Andrew Luck at Stanford. Now, were there other pieces around Andrew Luck that were not just the head coach when he was at Stanford? Yes, there were. But that was supposed to be your MO. Good coach, kind of maybe overachieved at Stanford. Maybe for a bit overachieved with the Niners. Okay, coming back home, Michigan man. But he can also develop quarterbacks. And if we're looking at where Michigan football has been running side by side with Ohio State through, you know, Tressel, Urban Meyer, they've had quarterbacks. They've been able to develop quarterbacks. But if that's your position and you can't develop it properly, what does that say about you? And I know what you're all thinking. Well, what about the guy in Lincoln? Well, he's on his first quarterback. And the quarterback before, Mackenzie Milton, developed quite fine. Before that, guys at Oregon. But Jim Harbaugh's now got 5 years of quarterbacks at Michigan, and maybe his best quarterback was somebody who maybe have developed more at another program before they ever came to Michigan. But think about if you're Michigan, you're Nebraska, you're Wisconsin, you're Penn State, and you're looking at the big four of Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, again, 17 of the 24 playoff appearances are from those four schools. What do they have that you don't? And you want to judge how far you are away. Whatever you define as the word cusp, which Harbaugh used, is do you have elite coaching? Do you have coaching that on Saturday is fantastic? We all want great coaching during the course of the week in preparation, and you want top to bottom on your staff. And that includes, by the way, your analysts. But on Saturday, do you have elite coaching? Where if something goes wrong and you got to go to plan B or plan C, you're able to adjust on the fly. You have great organizational skills. You got great communication from people that are with you on the sidelines, people upstairs. I look at Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, and I say, yep, they've got all those elements. Do you have NFL fellas walking around? Miami, Ohio State last night on TV. 0-3 championship game. God, it was great to hear Keith Jackson's voice doing a college football game. There were 18 first-round guys in that game. 37 starters were drafted. Eventually, nearly 60 players made it to the NFL. Do you have NFL talent on your roster up and down? Well, Michigan had 10 guys drafted this past year. Were more guys drafted on the third day than the first and second? Yes. But they did have 10 guys drafted. Do you have good to great to elite quarterback play? Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State. What have they had? They've had good to elite quarterback play. I think those are kind of what the roadmaps are if you want to compare where your program is to those four and maybe the next four on the cusp of being a national championship program. So some of those, Michigan could say, okay, we're closer here than we are here, but we don't have all four. And I think those are four categories as I look at similarities between those four that are close. So oversell, under deliver. Or maybe way too much time on his hands in the offseason that Harbaugh's being interviewed a lot and you never know what he's going to say. He believes this because it's not really the first time that he said it. Do people inside the program, do they believe it? That's the question. Because coaches can say it, but do people that they are leading or employing, do they believe the same thing? But he'll always be judged on Ohio State. What is Ohio State doing? And you could say, well, have you seen what Michigan's doing recruiting this year? Well, Ohio State's won. Michigan is recruiting well. But what is the difference? Ohio State takes a top recruiting class, and they make it even better. Michigan takes a good recruiting class, and they kind of remain good. And that's one of the differences. So they're on the cusp of being a national championship team, program. Record in 5 years, not bad. But the results in the games that matter, that's where they're the hang-up on Harbaugh. And also, I'll go back, and one quick thing on the recruiting, is do you parlay recruits? Again, those four do a good job of not only recruiting, because the rich get richer in college football. Thank God Bob Bowlesby said it the other day, and it has nothing to do with being in a pandemic. If you're going to start and I'm going to start, we got to do it together. There's no equality in college football. Maybe that's why we love it, or maybe that's why it's become so regionalized. But there is not equality in college football. Certain schools, certain places have their advantages compared to others. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way. Some places were able to take advantage of Prop 48 and build their roster, and then expand the roster and make those players better. Others live in a better part of the country. Others benefit from a schedule. So on and so forth. There is not equality in college football. That's why we may love college football or not like college football, because it is so regionalized. But the one thing you can't deny is wherever you are in this country, when you recruit and the richer gets richer, and those four that have accounted for all but seven of the playoff appearances, they get richer when they recruit is they take those players and they parlay those recruits into getting better. They don't just win December and win February. They win in September, October, November, December, and then they win when they get to January. 12:18, Brian Christopherson from 24/7 is coming up next. More on the baseball chat with Scott Miller, or was it Steve, about minor league baseball. Because there are some things that are happening that are not good for the sport at that level. All of that to come before we're out of here at 2 and say hello to the weekend and in sportsmanlike conduct. This is the Gary Sharp Show with George on 1620 The Zone. Hey, local businesses, they are here for us. They're open. This is a busy weekend. You got a lot of plans. You're looking for something for your home, a little upgrade. You're thinking, all right, that couch, let's get rid of that. Let's get a new couch. By the way, the couch at 52nd Capital, still there, says for free. Might be a tough sell this time of the year. But if you're looking for an improvement in your house, whether it be in your bedroom, your family room, your kitchen, why not turn to a local business that is open? That's Rod Cush's 7-Day Furniture.